he was approached, not in Berlin, but as he was taking his vacation in the German spa town of Bad Ems in southwest Germany, the French ambassador approached him as he was taking his walk, his Spaziergang along the canal. It was a very friendly discussion. The French ambassador said, you know, we really want you to withdraw. He said, I've already done so. We're not going to press this issue. But this hadn't satisfied the French, and so he wanted a written guarantee, in effect, from the Germans that there would be no revival of this candidacy. William said, you don't need this. I'll think about it, but you don't need this. I've already said we're not going to do it. The French ambassador left, William left, got on a train to go back to Berlin, thinking the whole thing was over. Bismarck got hold of this, a report of this encounter, and drafted what came to be known as the Ems Dispatch, in which he took this incident and made it appear that the French ambassador had stormed up to William I, demanded that William I withdraw, that it had been a confrontation, that the honor of the Hohenzollern family had been impugned, and that William had stood his ground. Bismarck redrafted this dispatch, made it seem like this, sent it out to all Prussian newspapers and government foreign office representatives around Europe. And then when William I got to Berlin the next morning, he discovered that instead of what had been a pleasant afternoon in Bad Ems and an encounter with a French ambassador, now a war situation had developed. There were demands for war with France in Berlin, as well as certainly demands for war coming from Paris. Bismarck had maneuvered Louis Napoleon into exactly the position he wanted to be in. Under pressure from his own Chamber of Deputies, Napoleon III, as he now called himself, Emperor of the French, declared war on Prussia. All of the German states responded exactly as Bismarck hoped they would. If Prussian economic leadership and a general notion of German nationalism hadn't been enough to unify the German states, a fear of a French invasion would. Here one sees the legacy of all of the poems, the plays, and so on about German national unity from the days of the Wars of Liberation come into play. All of the German states threw their support behind Prussia. Their military policies were coordinated with that of the Prussian army. The Prussians mobilized enormously quickly. And in what came to be known as the Miracle of Sedan, on September 1st, as French troops moved toward the frontier of northern Germany, the Germans bypassed the strategic French fortresses and enveloped the French armies around this crucial town of Sedan. Napoleon III was among the troops there. A breakout was impossible. A battle ensued. 13,000 French troops were killed, 30,000 captured, including the emperor. This was a devastating defeat. In all, the emperor, 40 generals, and 83,000 troops would ultimately surrender within the next couple of days. It was a miraculous defeat of France by Bismarck and the Prussian military forces. There was enormous enthusiasm in German Central Europe. Enormous enthusiasm for this victory over France, not necessarily for German unification, but for the victory over France. German armies continued to move into France proper, surrounded Paris, which continued to hold out even after the surrender of the emperor. And in a way of adding insult to injury, on January 19, 1871, at the Hall of Mirrors in Versailles, the various German princes offered the crown of a new German empire to William I of Prussia. So the German Empire, the unified Germany, was declared and created on French soil in 1871. Even after the defeat of Napoleon, German troops continued to fight. When one very prominent German public figure was asked, against whom do you fight now that Napoleon III has been vanquished and the French are defeated? He said, we're fighting against Louis XIV. So one sees the continuity of this enmity. In January of 1871, then, Germany, Kleindeutschland, a Germany without Austria, had been united under Prussian auspices. The German Reich, the word for empire, now would come, the second one, would come into existence. What's important to remember here is that in the final analysis, German unification was not the result of some sort of mass nationalism, some grassroots sentiment for German unification, but was the product of Prussian military power and the astute diplomacy, cabinet diplomacy, of Otto von Bismarck.